That's good. This is just routine. Would you like a chocolate? Not for breakfast. I would love one, Pauling said. The owner held the door wide, and Pauling and Reacher stepped inside. Pauling took a moment, choosing a chocolate. She settled on a raspberry fondant as big as a golf ball, took a little bite, and made a noise that sounded like appreciation. Then she followed Reacher through the kitchen and down the short, tiled hallway, out through the back door to the alley. The rear of the abandoned building was exactly as Reacher had last seen it. The dull red door, the corroded black knob, the filthy ground floor window. He turned the knob and pushed, just in case, but the door was locked, as expected. He bent down and unlaced his shoe, took it off and held the toe in his hand and used the heel like a 2-pound hammer, used it to break the window glass, low down and on the left, close to the door lock. He tapped a little more and widened the hole and then put his shoe back on, put his arm through the hole in the glass up to his shoulder and hugged the wall and groped around until he found the inside door handle. He unlocked it and withdrew his arm very carefully. Okay, he said. He opened the door and stood aside to let Pauling get a good look.
Just like you told me. Uninhabitable, no floors.
You up for a trip down the ladder?
Why me?
Because if I'm wrong, I might just give up and stay down there forever. Pauling craned in and took a look at the ladder. It was right there where it had been before, propped to the right, steeply angled, leaning on the narrow piece of wall that separated the window and the door.
I did worse at Quantico, but that was a long time ago.
It's only 10 feet if you fall.
Thanks.
She turned around and backed up to the void. Reacher took her right hand in his, and she sidled left and swung her left foot and left hand onto the ladder, got steady, and let Reacher's hand go, and paused a beat and climbed down into the dark. The ladder bounced and rattled a little, and then he heard the crunch and rustle of trash as she hit bottom and stepped off.
It's filthy down here.
Sorry.
There could be rats.
Use the flashlight.
Will that scare them off?
No, but you'll see them coming.
Thanks a lot.
He leaned in over the pit and saw her flashlight beam stab the gloom.
Where am I going?
Head for the front of the building, directly underneath the door. The flashlight beam leveled out and established a direction and jerked forward. The basement walls had been whitewashed years before with some kind of lime compound, and they reflected a little light. Reacher could see deep drifts of garbage everywhere. Paper, cartons, piles of unidentifiable rotted matter. Pauling reached the front wall. The flashlight beam stabbed upward and she located the door above her. She moved left a little and lined herself up directly beneath it.
Look down now. What do you see?
The beam stabbed downward. Short range, very bright.
I see trash.
Look closer. They might have bounced.
What might have bounced?
Dig around and you'll see.
I hope. The flashlight beam traced a small random circle, then a wider one. Then it stopped dead and held steady.
Okay, now I see. But how the hell did you know?
Reacher said nothing. Pauling held still for a second longer and then bent down, stood up again with her hands held high. In her right hand was the flashlight. In her left hand were two sets of car keys, one for a Mercedes-Benz, and one for a BMW. Chapter 50. Pauling waded through the garbage back to the base of the ladder and tossed the keys up to Reacher. He caught them one-handed, left and then right. Both sets were on chrome split rings and both had black leather fobs decorated with enamel car badges. The three-pointed Mercedes star, the blue and white BMW propeller. Both had a single large car key and a remote clicker. He blew dust and fragments of trash off them and put them in his pocket. Then he leaned in over the void and caught Pauling's arm and hauled her off the ladder to the safety of the alley. She brushed herself down and kicked the air hard to get trash off her shoes.
So, she said,
we're one for one. He closed the dull red door and put his arm back through the hole in the window glass and hugged the wall again and clicked the lock from the inside, extricated himself carefully, and tested the knob. It was solid. Safe. This whole thing with the mail slot was a pure decoy. Just a piece of nonsense designed to distract attention. The guy already had keys. He had spares from the file cabinet in Lane's office. There was a whole bunch of car stuff in there. Some of the valet keys were filed away, and some of them were missing.
So you were right about the time.
Reacher nodded. The guy was in the apartment above the cafe, sitting on the chair, looking out the window. He watched Gregory park at 11:40 and watched him walk away, but he didn't follow him down here to Spring Street. He didn't need to. He didn't give a damn about Spring Street. He just came out his door and crossed 6th Avenue and used the valet key from his pocket. Immediately. Much closer to 11:40 than midnight.
Same thing with the blue BMW the second morning.
Exactly the same thing. I watched the damn door for 20 minutes and he never came anywhere near it. He never even came south of Houston Street. He was in the BMW about 2 minutes after Gregory got out of it.
And that's why he specified the cars so exactly. He needed to match them with the stolen keys.
And that's why it bugged me when Gregory let me into his car that first night. Gregory used the remote thing from 10 feet away, like anyone would. But the night before, the other guy didn't do that with the Mercedes. He walked right up to it and stuck the key in the door. Who does that anymore? But he did, because he had to, because he didn't have the remote. All he had was the valet key. Which also explains why he used the Jaguar for the final installment. He wanted to be able to lock it from the other side of the street, as soon as Burke put the money in it, for safety's sake. He could do that with the Jaguar only because the only remote he had was for the Jaguar. He inherited it at the initial takedown. Pauling said nothing. Reacher said, I told Lane the guy used the Jaguar as a taunt, as a reminder. But the real reason was practical, not psychological. Pauling was quiet for a second more.
But you're back to saying there was inside help, aren't you? And there must have been, right? To steal the valet keys? But you already discounted inside help. You already decided there wasn't any.
I think I've got that figured.
Who?
The guy with no tongue. He's the key to the whole ballgame. Chapter 51. Pauling and Reacher trooped back through the chocolate shop and were back on the street before 8:30 in the morning. They were back in Pauling's office on West 4th before 9. We need Brewer now, and Patty Joseph.
Brewer's still asleep. He works late.
Today's going to work early. He's going to get his ass in gear because we need a definitive ID on that body from the Hudson River.